This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Today, I'm chatting to someone who, along with two friends, has turned a small community idea into a national movement. I'm joined by Sirica Killian, co-founder of Hygiene Hub Ireland, which is a charity started by Sirica, Ciara Dalton and Rosie McDonough as well, after they noticed hygiene poverty was an issue in Ireland. What began in 2019 with their first 30kg donation to a homeless charity in Dublin has now grown into a nationwide network of more than 80 volunteers across 10 counties, delivering over 85,000 kg of hygiene products to the people who need them the most. Sirica, thank you so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat this evening. For listeners who might not know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and also how you came to co-found Hygiene Hub Ireland?
Yeah, absolutely. So, hello. Thank you so much for listening. So my name's Sirica Killian. I'm co-founder and head of operations at Hygiene Hub. So Hygiene Hub is a national social enterprise and charity specifically focused on tackling hygiene poverty. And for anyone who's not sure what hygiene poverty is, it's the inability to afford or access essential hygiene items. So soap, shampoo, laundry detergent, anything that we use in our everyday routines to make ourselves feel clean and ready for the world, that's a hygiene item and something that people can go without. And in terms of how I kind of came to be involved, I mean, myself and my co-founders kind of almost accidentally set up the organization. We were all volunteering in various different environments about 6 years ago now. We're kind of consistently seeing that hygiene items was something that people were asking for, and that, you know, we were kind of either having to purchase it ourselves or kind of people were having to get themselves, and there was no dedicated resource or support the way you would have food banks or the way that you would have, like, you know, clothing appeals, etc. So we all met. We were absolute strangers. My co-founders and I, we didn't know each other at all. We met on like a Volunteer Ireland messaging board, and all met up in late 2019, early 2020, and thought we'd be maybe doing like an hour a week, you know, collecting items and dropping them off. And then very quickly, the immense need for hygiene items and the massive gap in services became apparent. And so we went from being a nice idea to an essential service within, honestly, a matter of months.
When did you have that moment of, okay, this needs to be a full-blown organization that we're going to be setting up, rather than the drop that you did the first time?
Yeah. Our first ever drop was 30 kilos in late 2019 in inner city Dublin. To be honest, people ask us this all the time, and they're like, you know, when did you decide to set up a company and set up a charity? And we're, say, kind of about 3 years after it started is probably when we realized. And what I mean by that is, like, because the need was so immense from day one, and obviously with the pandemic happening so quickly, and then there was the kind of, you know, various international wars, which increased the need as well. We were kind of fighting fires from day one. And so, you know, we set up an organization to receive additional funding that was needed, and then became a registered charity to ensure that we were governing correctly. And then, you know, opened up new hubs in different locations because the need was there. And so it grew so organically that it probably was really year two before we actually looked around and kind of realized that we were running a functioning organization, that we had brought on a board and all of that. But we made the decision at that point to really look at it strategically. And I think for me and for my co-founders as well, the mind shift changed in about year two / year three from, oh, we're just doing the best we can and we're just trying to fill a gap, to there needs to be a dedicated, like, created service that supports this. And so that was that shift there when we started kind of building something long-term as opposed to just trying to solve short-term issues.
Why do you think that access to hygiene products is something that gets overlooked, even among the amazing charities that are already supporting people with food and essential services? Why is it that the hygiene items, there's such a gap with them?
There's so many reasons, and, like, I can't speak for kind of everyone, and everyone has very different experience of hygiene poverty. What I will say is I think there is still a degree of kind of stigma and social barriers for asking. I mean, you know, something like food poverty, obviously we know as a community that it's not acceptable that people are living in food poverty, or people are living in fuel poverty or digital or don't have heat or electric. But those things are so, you know, understood across the kind of country and internationally, that, you know, if someone needs to ask for those things, it's already there. They can go and get that service. Whereas because there isn't dedicated services set up for hygiene items, you do really have to put yourself out there. And we do have people ask us sometimes, they're like, how do you decide who gets those items? How do you decide who has access? And my response to that is always, have you ever had to ask for soap? Because if you're in a position where you've had to ask for soap, like such a basic essential, then you're in need of it. And that's kind of the how we measure and how we understand. And so there's massive stigma there, and there's a massive amount of kind of, if you show up to a social event and perhaps, you know, maybe you don't kind of smell the cleanest or you don't look the cleanest, there's an inherent opinion that people might make of you, and you're inherently feeling self-conscious, that it creates so many social barriers, never mind the financial barriers and the accessibility barriers of getting those items as well.
It's such a complicated issue, isn't it? I mean, when you actually look at it properly, and I know you guys have done so much work, you don't realize how many people we're doing without until you see how many donations that you're making all of the time. But what are some of the most common items that people are struggling to access?
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of personal care items, the kind of really standard stuff that we do is, you know, soap, shampoo, razors, toothbrush, toothpaste. But what often people don't think of and is hugely important is also like household related cleaning products. So things like laundry detergent or kind of bleach or, you know, floor wash, because it's not just about having kind of yourself being clean. It's also being in like a safe and clean environment. And there's also additional, you know, talking about social barriers earlier, you know, we would work with a lot of, let's say, elderly isolated people. And what will happen a lot is that these people, once their homes start to become untidy or dirty, and it's too much for them to manage and they can't access or afford the items, they start to really retreat socially and they stop going to the local bingo or the local kind of group. And, you know, that then has massive knock on physical and mental health impacts as well. So I think that's honestly one of the most requested items is household cleaning products. And it's often the thing that people think of least to donate. You know, it's the last thing on people's mind. But like a box of laundry detergent right now is probably about 9 or 10 euro for like your cheapest one. And realistically, like not everyone has that extra 10 euro that week to spend on it. And so we know of families that are like washing in their clothes because they can't afford to run the washing machine or run the dryer. You know what I mean? Like it's really apparent in people's lives right now.
Is there a moment along the way for you and also the other girls you've co-founded this with where you really felt the impact of the Hygiene Hub and how much of an impact it was having on maybe a certain person or a community?
I mean, there's so many. I think that's the one really beautiful thing about this organization is the way we work is that we build ourselves into community partners. So that could be schools, it could be families, it could be, you know, domestic abuse organizations, direct provision. And so every week we get back incredible stories. And I think one that we talk about a lot, and I think it was the first one that really showed to me not only what a barrier it could create, but how simple the solution could be, was out of our Wicklow hub. So we were actually just talking about this family literally a week ago, because we've been supporting them ever since. But I'd say it was about 2, maybe even 3 years ago, there was a family in Wicklow, and it was a father. He had 5 young children, and his partner, his wife, had passed away, sadly, quite young. And so he was a single father for 5 children. And his children were missing really large amounts of school, to the point where, like, you know, the school and TUSLA were getting involved and having to look at whether or not the kind of that arrangement was most suitable for the children in terms of care. And when we kind of dug into why the children were missing so much school, it was because of head lice. And like everyone in their life has gotten head lice at some point. It's the bane of every parent's life. But what is an annoyance for most parents actually became a massive threat to this man's family, because a bottle of head lice shampoo is maybe 12, 15 euro. And if you have 5 children, you know, maybe you need 3, 4 bottles. I mean, very quickly, within a week or two, you're spending an extra 40, 50 quid that you don't have. And so he was having to treat kind of one child at a time, and then that child would go to school, but then the other children would still have head lice. They'd be sent home from school. The children who were being treated would then get it again. And the cycle was just going on for months. And this poor man was just doing so much just to try and keep his kids in school, but obviously couldn't afford to treat all of them. And so we just bought a bunch of bottles of head lice shampoo and made sure that they got sorted and got them everything else they needed. And then the kids were back in school. And like everything else about the home environment, obviously it was challenging, but it was a very supportive and loving environment. But there was this really fundamental basic item that they weren't able to access that was creating this very, very difficult environment for everyone. And could have, frankly, I mean, like the cost of if those children had had to look to be moved and if there had had to be changes and the impact that would have had on their life is astronomical when you think about the fact that the solution was literally 50 euros worth of shampoo.
That breaks my heart to hear that story. That is so challenging. My heart goes out to that poor father who was just doing his best.
We're still working with them. So that's the nice thing is like we literally had a conversation about this family a week ago and we're still supporting them and they're together and they're doing great. But
amazing.
It is galling. Like it's a story I like to tell because I think it's a happy ending. But for that small intervention, think about the long-term impacts that could have had. And that's one of 1,000 stories that we hear every year, every month, you know?
What kinds of organizations do you partner with mainly for donations?
Absolutely. So the way that we work, just for anyone who's interested, so when we donate products, so we receive products through drop-off points and through corporate partners and kind of financially we purchase a lot as well. And then all of that then is sorted internally and is then distributed to our community partners. So via our community partners, we support just under 30,000 people a quarter. And I would say the kind of like maybe kind of 60% of that is a lot of families. So we would do a lot of work with schools. We would do a lot of work with family resource centers, which are a phenomenal support to a lot of communities across Ireland. We would work with a lot of food banks. We would work with kind of a lot of youth clubs and organizations, but we really do support everyone. And so we also, as I said, we work with elderly people through like specific organizations that work with kind of people there. We work with a lot of, migrants and refugees through direct provision and through support services. And we do a lot of work with kind of homeless services and rough sleeping organizations as well. And the way that we distribute products is different for each of those. So for example, like a homeless service that supports homeless people, we'll give mini items to in small packs, because if you're carrying your whole life on your bag, does it make sense to have, you know, 9 full-size bottles of items? Whereas if you're, let's say, like a residential service or a school or family resource center, we might try set up like a hygiene shop within the family resource center so that people can come in and actually pick their own items and have that kind of choice. Because I think that's unfortunately a lot of what happens when you're living in poverty is you really restricted choices. You don't get to pick the brand you like, the one that makes you feel the best, the item that, you know, gives you that pep in your step. You are often just kind of told to take what you're given. And so where possible, we try to give people that option of choice and that kind of that little bit of their own self kind of, you know, decision and that dignity that comes with that.
If someone's listening this evening and they want to donate to the Hygiene Hub or start volunteering, how do they go about doing that? And also tell me about the Christmas campaign that you have that'll tie into that anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing to say is that we are always looking for people to get involved in Hygiene Hub, whether it's as a volunteer, whether it's through your company, whether it's through donation of product or financial. We are a tiny organization and we're the only one in Ireland doing this. So it's really important, kind of as much help as people can give. Right now, we're in the middle of our Christmas appeal. So it's our It's in the Bag appeal, which is where we provide essentially like it's a full bag, tote bag of essential items as well as some luxury hygiene items. So something that's really important to us is that we do the soap and the shampoo and the bleach and all of that, but also when we do our Christmas campaign, we do a gift. We do like a nail polish or an aftershave or a cologne or like, you know, a gift set. And for the people that we do that with, we're told for most of them, it's the only gift they'll receive that year. And I think it's so important, you know, if we all think about that nice face mask that we put on sometimes to make ourselves feel really good, it's so much more than just fulfilling a basic need. It's reminding yourself that you're a person that deserves something nice and to treat yourself. And so if anyone is buying gift sets or anything like that over now for Christmas, do consider putting one into one of our local drop-off points. You can find our drop-off points on our website, hygienehub.ie. And so for the campaign, the It's in the Bag campaign, we're aiming to provide 3,000 bags to individuals and families this Christmas. And so that on top of bulk donations of kind of essential items that we'll be doing. And that's across all of our hubs. So we're in 11 hubs at the moment. And we're always looking to set up new ones. So if people are interested in volunteering in your local hub, again, on the website, hygienehub.ie, you can click volunteer with us, sign up, and we'll get you into an induction and you can get going straight away. Or if you're in a county where we don't have a local hub, but you'd like to, you know, volunteer and help be part of starting one up, again, just sign up to volunteer or reach out to us on our info@hygienehub.ie or our social media, and we can jump in and kind of start getting something organized. And then finally, we have an iDonate page, which again, you can find on our social media, which is @hygienehubIRE on Instagram, or on our website, and people can make financial donations there. And it's important to say, during Christmas, every single cent that is donated to us goes directly to product. So your donation directly equals putting an essential item in someone's hands.
Sirica, I think you summed that up absolutely amazingly there, where everyone can find all of the resources and all of the information. And I really appreciate you coming on Joy Radio's group chat, because I know it's probably a really busy time of the year with the It's in the Bag campaign, but such a worthy cause. And thank you so much for your time, and I'm looking forward to catching up to you again on the show in the new year.
Thank you so much, really appreciate it.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.